Dor tied the key around her neck with a piece of string that she found in one of the pockets of her leather jacket. "That's not going to be safe," said Richard. The girl made a face at him. "Well," he said, "it's not." She shrugged. "Okay," she said. "I'll get a chain for it when we get to the market." They were walking through a maze of caves, deep tunnels hacked from the limestone that, to Richard, felt almost prehistoric. Richard chuckled. "What's so funny?" Dor asked. He grinned. "I was just thinking of the expression on the Marquis's face when we tell him we got the key from the friars, without his help." "I'm sure he'll have something sardonic to say about it," she said. "And then, back to the angel, by the long and dangerous way, whatever that is." Richard found himself about to say, "I'm sure it'll be long and dangerous," and made himself not say it. Instead, he admired the paintings on the cave walls. Russets and ochres and siennas outlined charging boars and fleeing gazelles, woolly mastodons and giant sloths. He imagined that the paintings had to be thousands of years old, but then they turned a corner, and he noticed that, in the same style, there were lorries, house cats, cars, and, markedly inferior to the other images, as if only glimpsed infrequently and from a long way away, airplanes. None of the paintings were very high off the ground. He wondered if the painters were a race of subterranean Neanderthal pygmies. It was as likely as anything else in this strange world. "So where is the next market?" he asked. "No idea," said Dor. "Hunter?" Hunter slipped out of the shadows. "I don't know." A small figure dashed past them, going back the way they had come. A few moments later, another couple of tiny figures came towards them in fell pursuit. Hunter whipped out a hand as they passed, snagging a small boy by the ear. "Ow!" he said, in the manner of small boys. "Let me go! She stole my paintbrush!" "That's right," said a piping voice from further down the corridor. "She did!"
"I didn't!"
came an even higher and more piping voice from even further down the corridor. Hunter pointed to the paintings on the cave wall. "You did these?" she asked. The boy had the towering arrogance only seen in the greatest of artists and all 9-year-old boys. "Yeah," he said truculently. "Some of them." "Not bad," said Hunter. The boy glared at her. "Where's the next floating market?" asked Dor. "Belfast," said the boy. "Tonight." "Thanks," said Dor. "Hope you get your paintbrush back. Let him go, Hunter." Hunter let go of the boy's ear. He did not move. He looked her up and down, then made a face to indicate that he was, without any question at all, unimpressed.
"You're Hunter?"
he asked. She smiled down at him modestly. He sniffed.
"You're the best bodyguard in the underside."
"So they tell me." The boy reached one hand back and forward again in one smooth movement. He stopped, puzzled, and opened his hand, examined his palm. Then he looked up at Hunter, confused. Hunter opened her hand to reveal a small flick knife with a wicked blade. She held it up out of the boy's reach. He wrinkled his nose.
"How'd you do that?"
"Scram," said Hunter. She closed the knife and tossed it back to the boy, who took off down the corridor without a backward glance in pursuit of his paintbrush.